SNI Digital Innovations in Learning, in association with Surgical Neurology International and the Medical News Network, are pleased to present another in the SNI Digital Investigative Report series on COVID-19, a 6-month update, What You Need to Know, an interview with Russell Blaylock. The editor's comments: COVID-19 infection was a man-made disease with very limited mortality. However, the mRNA vaccine has a high mortality and morbidity. It is responsible for millions of deaths worldwide and disability in even more people. Yet few physicians know the facts behind this planned attempt by the pharmaceutical industry, governments, the media, medical journals, and others to conceal this information from the population. Why? Please view this first investigative report by Dr. Blaylock, given 5 months ago on SNI Digital, and review the papers in SNI to learn the truth behind this crime against humanity. What do you know about this disease affecting your patients and yourselves? See the following program for an update on the literature reports. Russell Blaylock is the head of theoretical neuroscience research and associate editor-in-chief of the neuroinflammation section of Surgical Neurology International and a certified clinical nutritionist. He's the creator and editor of the Blaylock Wellness Report, an author of multiple books, scientific papers, and a health commentator on radio, TV, and the Epoch Times. Dr. Blaylock has written books on the liver cure, natural strategies for cancer patients, prescriptions for natural health, excitotoxins, and with Dr. Ausman, a book on the China virus, What is the Truth?, which is available. All of these are available on Amazon.com. And the China virus book is available free as an ebook on SNI Surgical Neurology International. He's written papers on the update, COVID update, What's the Truth?, Ignore Dangers of COVID Injections, other areas of neurodegenerative disease, in which he's pioneered the concept of immunoexcitotoxicity, including Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, autistic, and autism. He's written about viruses in the tumor cell environment and other articles in regard to neoplasms. He publishes a monthly nutritional newsletter, and it's been published for the last 20 years. To subscribe, write Wellness Report at newsmax.com. There are 73 references for the material presented in this program. Please find these listed at the end of the program. You may take screenshots and save them for your use. These are the facts on which this presentation was made. Okay, today we have the privilege of having Russell Blaylock with us, and we interviewed him a couple of months ago on COVID-19, what is the truth and what's really going on behind it. And he's got an update because he'll tell you why more and more information is coming out, which is revealing the things that he's written about, we've talked about, and so forth. So Russell, you want to just bring people up to date quickly about what was in the previous video, and then we'll go into the major subjects of update that you covered in the most recent newsletter, okay?
Well, basically what we saw was all this started out as a mystery to most people. And the exciting thing that got to most people that instilled this enormous fear was that this was a global pandemic. We didn't know what this agent was. This agent was an incredible killer, and nothing could stop it. Suddenly, someone came along and said, "Well, hydroxychloroquine seems to stop the virus in most people. Certain supplements like vitamin D seem to reduce the mortality enormously." And then they looked at ivermectin and they said, "Well, ivermectin is an incredible agent against this infection. Countries that used it switched it from a prescription to over the counter so everybody could get it. And they had the lowest death rate in the world. For instance, Peru and North India and some of the European countries." And so, as I said, the script for approval for an EAU, Emergency Use Authorization, says it has to meet certain criteria. It has to be a pandemic and not just spread all over the world, but it has to be deadly. So they faked the deadly aspect of it. And the most important part of the criteria was that there can be no alternative treating it. And so they knew there's two drugs that are highly effective, were ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine. So they immediately set about to demonize them and even outlaw them, which was unprecedented. And what I put in several of my papers that was in your journal was that we had new precedents set, which we had never seen in medicine. For instance, we never had an infection when people were told, "Don't treat it early. Let it get dangerous and then come to the hospital." And so there was no early treatment. And then once in the hospital, the only approved treatment is by the CDC. What people didn't know is the CDC has no right to institute a treatment at all. They had never treated a single patient. And so all these hospitals in lockstep adopted the CDC criteria and told physicians, "You will follow the criteria or you'll be thrown out of the hospital." And then the specialty organization said, "We'll take your license away and you'll be thrown out of the specialty organization." These were vital things to a physician. Without a license, you can't practice medicine. And so this was totally unprecedented. Now it's come out that all of this was engineered. This wasn't a surprise. The vaccine was not fast-tracked, that it had been ready since 2015. And they paraded the whole thing to make it an epidemic and to kill people by giving them a drug in hospitals, which would affect their respirations. And it was used as a termination of life drug. And so these people were being essentially murdered. They put on an act with the refrigerated trucks. They told you the hospitals were overrun. They had the Ford Motor Company making respirators. What people didn't know is that on the city dumps, these respirators were still in their packages sitting on the dump. They'd been thrown away. And that many hospitals didn't have a single COVID patient. They were empty. And so treatment of regular diseases like heart disease, diabetes, there was no follow-up. You couldn't go to those clinics anymore. Families couldn't visit their loved ones. All these things were unprecedented. No one had ever seen any such thing. Then we found out, well, the hospital was paid a huge amount of money by the federal government not to successfully treat these people and to keep people away. Then we had, as I explained, why are there no autopsies? We have a so-called strange disease. People are dying supposedly in numbers. And you told the pathologists, "Don't do any autopsies." That was in Europe and the United States. And there was a reason they didn't want autopsies. One, they didn't want people to know that the people that died didn't die of COVID. They died of the imposed treatments and the use of this at the point of death drug. And they didn't want to see the poor medical care that was going on in the hospital because the family wasn't allowed to see it. There was no follow-up. All of this has come out now. See, all of this has been proven under oath. And so then the hospitals were filled with these patients they said were COVID patients. The nurses testified under oath. They were all vaccinated patients. They weren't COVID patients that weren't vaccinated. It was a lie. And so the reason it got the approval for the EUA was that it stopped the disease and it stopped transmission. It didn't either. That was proven. That wasn't just a speculation. It was proven. And so they never met the EAU. Well, they had mandated the vaccine for certain groups, for instance, in the military, youngest, healthiest people in society. The number of deaths just skyrocketed. Number of disabilities skyrocketed. The people in the military in charge of the flight surgeon said, I'm having to take people off of the line of the flight surgeons and flying because of heart defects. People started dying of myocarditis. Young people started dying. 1,400 athletes died. And so we begin to see, well, there's something going on here. And as the documents begin to unfold, which Dr. David Martin did an excellent job in bringing up the patents on these things. He found out, well, you've been working on this vaccine for decades for this exact same virus. And you supposedly act like you didn't even know it, what it was now, but you knew it 10 years ago. And then we found out there's a laboratory in North Carolina in which it was manipulated. And this was shared with a Chinese communist lab in Wuhan to make the virus spread to humans. But the virus itself had an extremely low death rate. It was no more than a mild, moderate flu. But you made out like it was a killer to make it a disease you could mandate a vaccine. Now, in my area, I wrote several columns in the paper warning people don't take the vaccine. It's dangerous and it'll kill you. They didn't pay any attention. The medical university required all residents and students to get the vaccine. And I went out with an ENT doctor the other day to lunch. He told me, he said, you heard about the medical student who died, didn't you? And he had been vaccinated and he died in the middle of the night of heart failure. And he said, I am seeing enormous number of people that suddenly go deaf. All of them have been vaccinated. And he said, you know, we're seeing unfold exactly what you wrote in your column. And the head of the obstetric specialty organization, the president, came from Mississippi, my area. He came from the medical university. Well, an article was written in the New England Journal of Medicine saying that the COVID vaccine was perfectly safe in pregnant women. I wrote an article saying that's a fake study, and the study actually showed there was a 32% miscarriage rate if you got the vaccine in the first trimester or in the third trimester. And I said the specialty organization he belonged to was lying, and they were receiving money from Pfizer. He never said a word. Several people have lost their license. Dr. Paul Thomas in Oregon has the biggest pediatric practice in all of Oregon. And because he spoke out against COVID, they took his license away. And he was thrown out of the medical association. So we see this things that were unprecedented. People were told, don't talk. Don't ever criticize a government program and support us every kind of way. Tell your patients to get vaccinated, pregnant women, young children, young people. They were dying left and right. And so a new study has been done in which they looked at the death rate, which couldn't be explained by anything else, 47 countries, and they found over 3 million people had died from the vaccine alone. And so then they said, well, what about the other 188 countries? Well, Ranch Court estimated that 35 million had died. And so we're starting to see huge numbers of people died, not from the virus, but from the treatment and from the vaccine. Recently, there was a new study in which they did over 300 autopsies, and they examined the results of those autopsies, and they found the number one cause, over 74% of every death, was due to the vaccine itself. Or it was either directly the vaccine or directly due to a complication of the vaccine. The Lancet had approved the article, and in 24 hours, it got over 125,000 downloads, and they canceled it. They rejected the article. So it's been reprinted in another journal. And so they're trying to cover up that these deaths were due to the vaccine, not due to COVID, not due to comorbid diseases, but to the vaccine itself. The sterilization, miscarriages are growing by leaps and bounds. Abnormal babies growing by leaps and bounds. And all this is being covered up and lied about, and yet it's all documented. It's all proven in journals. And as I said, we've never seen so many articles rejected, particularly by people who are experts in the field. They weren't just a fly-by-night guy who wanted to write an article. These are some of the top people in the world. Their article was rejected, taken out of the journal. Some articles had been there for years. Then they were taken down years later. They'd passed peer review. They'd been accepted. They were printed. People had read it for years, and then they were removed.
Is this true in other countries also?
Everywhere. Everywhere.
And so now let's get to the work of Ryan Cole, because what we've seen recently, it's a good summary. What we've seen recently is a rise in infant deaths. I mean, people, healthy athletes dying suddenly. I don't want to go into what you're going to say, but what's been found? Because these people are being autopsied.
Yeah, I mean, the 300 plus autopsies. And what it found is it was due to the vaccine. It was not due to the disease. And there's a Dr. Burkhardt from Europe. He was an eminent pathologist. They autopsied something like 800 people who had been vaccinated. And they checked to see if the virus was present, any evidence of the virus itself. They didn't find any. All they found was the spike protein from the vaccine.
Okay, so now I think you should get into that, because we were all told that if you get the vaccination, it'll just stay in your arm where you're vaccinated. But I think you've talked about it, and that that's the exact opposite of what happens. Not only does the lipid capsule it's in cause harm, but the spike protein is essentially goes everywhere and winds up in your DNA. Tell us about that.
Yeah, the original study done by the company before the vaccine was released for use, the biodistribution study, showed it went everywhere. It went in every organ, including the brain and heart, kidneys, everywhere. And so did the nanolipid carrier that it was encased in. They also showed that the nanolipid carrier itself was dangerous. It could produce chronic inflammation. Spike protein produces inflammation, prolonged inflammation. And at the time I examined it, I said, the study of adjuvants and aluminum and pesticide and other things shows that if you put it in the brain and you do it systemically together, you get much more damage than if you just do it systemically. Now, systemically, if you activate the immune system, the microglia in the brain are activated within minutes. But they showed that if you have a defect in your brain, like a malformation that's completely silent, and you stimulate the immune system peripherally, produces horrendous destruction due to excitotoxicity.
Well, how do they get the sudden? So we know the damage to the brain. Initially, you can inhale it, or it goes in through the olfactory nerves into the sinuses and into the nerve tracts that way. And obviously, the spike protein is transmitted everywhere. And you said that there's studies out there which shows that it is incorporated into the nuclear DNA. So it's with you, as far as we know. The studies haven't gone for life, but I think the studies go out, what, 6, 9 months or several years, that it's with you continuously. You're continuously making spike protein.
What they demonstrated is that with the vaccine, the messenger RNA does not enter the nucleus. Well, this study that they did of the liver demonstrated, yes, it did. It was incorporated into the DNA by a reverse transcriptase. And so you were, for the rest of your life, producing spike protein. You became a generator.
Does that explain long COVID, or does that how does that explain any of the long-term effects of the disease?
Well, there's such a thing called sleep behavior. This is what you get with flu, and so flu, you lose your desire to eat. You want to sleep all the time. You don't want to interact socially. And what they found is it's because the flu stimulates immunity, that activates the brain's immune system, and that's what's producing all the symptoms. Well, with injection, the spike protein, what they found is that the number one site of the spike protein was the endothelium of the blood vessels, the lining of the blood vessels. And that's small arteries, that's arterioles, capillaries, veins, and including all your organs, including your brain. And it's constantly producing an inflammatory stimulus. That's what makes the long COVID.
Does that lead to, because we see these athletes die suddenly and they're in good health. Is that a myocarditis? Is that a occlusion of the coronary arteries? Or is it these long clots that the morticians found in England?
Well, some cases of the clots, some cases can be explained that way, but most of them, it's a direct infiltration of the myocardium, the heart muscle, with spike protein. And Dr. Berger, he examined the heart and demonstrated by microscopy. He said, well, here's the spike protein. There's no other evidence of the virus. There's no encapsulate of the virus. It's just the spike protein.
So can that produce a disruption of cardiac rhythms?
It can. And so, immediately they try to cover themselves. Well, it's mild myocarditis, and they recover completely. Well, then somebody did cardiac scanning and showed the scarring of the heart. They said that's a lie, that the heart is permanently scarred, and that it can affect the bundle of His, which is your nerves, from your AV and SA node, which can produce arrhythmia, and you can suddenly die. And so Dr. McCullough, the cardiologist, said, if these people exercise or they get excited, they'll die. And so this explains these young athletes who getting excited, exerting themselves, and they drop dead.
What does the exertion do?
It's the epinephrine, norepinephrine.
Okay.
And that activates the nerves in the heart.
Okay.
Speeds up the heart.
So it's probably an arrhythmia, a dysrhythmia, or some immediate process that causes immediate disruption of cardiac function.
That's right.
Okay. Now, the other thing we've seen is, and I think Ryan Cole worked on this and so forth, there's an increase in cancers. What's going on?
Well, there's several things that have been found that would increase cancer. He named them turbo cancers because they grow so fast. And what he found, he said, the number one cancer we're seeing is in young people is melanoma. We're also seeing ovarian cancers. We're seeing lung cancers. He said, for the first time in my head, he has one of the largest pathology practices in Idaho. He said, first time ever we're seeing colon cancer in young people. 20-year-olds, 30-year-olds. And so, we're seeing breast cancer in younger. They all have been vaccinated. And so they looked at the vaccine, well, what's it doing? Well, your cells normally have a P53 gene in it. It's called the suicide gene. Its purpose is that if it looks like the cell might be converted to cancer, it's activated and it kills the cell. The injection, the so-called vaccine, has been shown to alter the P53 gene so it doesn't work. It also has been shown to alter the BRCA1, BRCA2 genes, which are your major repair genes for your DNA. And those are the ones that are associated with breast cancer, incurable breast cancer. And so it's doing those things for fun. The other thing that's happening is they found by the third injection, your boosters, you had no immunity left. And what it made your body produce, I think by the second vaccine, there's over a 200% increase in IgG4. And they said IgG4 is not that common, and it's an immune suppressor. And by the third vaccine, it's such high levels, you can't resist cancer, infections, COVID, anything, because you have no immune surveillance.
So what we have is now a situation where the vaccine becomes the agent causing the disease. It's in all the organs in the body. And it produces spike protein. For all we know, it goes on for a long time. And if you got all the boosters and repeated injections, what happened is you basically inactivated your immune system so you can't get defense from a whole bunch of diseases, and that including cancer. And you've stopped your body's protection system against cancer. So these cancers are springing up at a younger age. We never saw it before. Is that correct?
That's right. That's right. That's exactly what we're seeing. And so Dr. Cole, the pathologist, called his friends, the pathologists all over the world. And they said, it's exactly what they're seeing. Seeing the same thing. This ENT doctor I know that we went out to eat with, he said, we're seeing cancers of the tongue and mouth that are turbo cancers. They're growing like crazy.
What other things do you think are going to happen long term? Because you've worked on this, that we haven't seen yet, that are the results because they didn't do the lab studies extended. And I thought I had read somewhere, correct me if I'm wrong, that before they issue a vaccine, they have to have some very long-term studies experimentally to know what the long-term effects, which they didn't do in this. They just did 3 months and that was it. So what do you see long-term?
Well, we don't know. It's a big question mark. What's going to happen to these people long-term? Well, one cardiologist said 75% of the people who've been vaccinated will be dead in 10 years.
On the basis of what or from what?
Well, people who keep getting vaccinated.
Yes, but what do they die from? Did he say?
Heart disease.
Heart disease.
Heart disease is number one. And if you look in that study where they looked at 300 and something people, the number one cause of heart of death was MI, myocardial infarction, heart attack. And the blood clots were second, and they're about 12%, and other things were 12%, but heart attack was number one. And like you said, the long clots, and I've listened to several pathologists of the morticians speak, particularly Dr. Looney or Mr. Looney and England, and he's been in a mortician for over 20 years. He said, I've never seen anything like it. He said, these are huge clots. He said, we can't inject the preserving fluid until we get the clots out of it. And he said, it's young people, women. It's just amazing.
And he said the clots, if I'm not mistaken, were 4 feet long. I mean,
Oh, yeah.
this was very unusual in this experience, because usually you flush out the vessels, you can flush all this out, and then you put the preservative in that way. But they couldn't inject it, and so
No, couldn't do
they
it.
pull out these clots, these long clots. They're all glued together. Did the vaccine or the spike protein cause that, or contribute to that?
Yeah, it seems so. And the unusual characteristic is these clots, nothing will dissolve them. The usual things they use to dissolve these clots doesn't work. The only thing that seems to dissolve them is natto kinase and bromelain. They'll dissolve them. But what they've shown is that the spike protein is producing and triggering the platelet activating system, and it's producing a clot. And there's other aspects of it, like the hydrogel and the graphene oxide, which are combined in the clot, which makes it resistant to most things. So if a person has a heart attack and he goes to the hospital and they give him the usual enzymes to try to reverse his heart, it doesn't work.
So now we've got an explanation for the strange deaths in young people, the very sudden deaths, longer term cancers that are coming up. What about sterility? Because it infects the reproductive organs.
Yeah, the number one area that they found the spike protein in the biodistribution study was the bone marrow and the ovary. We're seeing a spike in lymphoma and leukemia among the young, and among the women, ovarian cancer and miscarriage, because you had to have a certain repertoire of hormones to make the pregnancy successful. And so it's disrupted that. It's destroyed the ovarian function. So it's affecting the male testes too, as far as the sperm.
And so we don't know the long-term outcomes of those.
No.
What about the lungs?
Well, mainly is because you have no immunity left, you get pneumonia. And so the lungs deteriorate.
Now, in the state next to you there, Missouri has sued the government, because of this misinformation you were talking about when you started, which is really bad information, wrong information that was being spread to the public, and it has harmed people. And I think they're accusing them of covering this up, of doing things that were not truthful and not informing the public, and that have led to deaths. Is that correct?
That's correct. There's several lawsuits. This EAU approval and this congressional resistance to being sued. Well, the suit only is based on informed consent. If you lie, if you don't tell the truth about it, all that disappears and you could be sued. So it's in these courts. They said there's a crack in the case. The Ninth Circuit Court looked at the patents and said, this is not a vaccine. According to the patent, they're describing a bioweapon. Said, this doesn't describe a vaccine to prevent a disease or prevent spread. It's describing a bioweapon that can be used to kill people. And so that's really opened up the crack, is now they no longer have this protection, this immunity to lawsuits. And so more and more people are starting to file lawsuits that lost loved ones or developed one of these conditions, particularly the parents of young children. This stuff is really terrible. I can't believe that it's taken so long for people to wake up, that's lost children, that's lost their loved one in a hospital. And like you said, if we found out the masking, the isolation, the distancing was all based on a lie. And so the UN has now produced a new term called malinformation. Well, their definition of malinformation is, well, it might be true what you're saying, but it makes you not trust the government,
That's
which
exactly.
means you have to be an accessory to mass murder.
That's exactly
Yes,
what it
we
says.
might be mass murdering people, but you must be quiet.
Yeah, that's exactly what it says. So, what I wanted to point out is that everything that you said is documented in the literature now. It's not mainstream literature, but it's getting there. Every one of the things, statements you said has been documented to be true and is totally the opposite of what everyone was told before. And so now we have a situation where we had a virus that was basically benign, but the vaccine is the one that was the most lethal part of it. And we have evidence from the brain and from the heart and from younger people and from cancers that these things are going up in large numbers and percentages that have never been seen before. And the only thing you can contribute it to by different mechanisms that we've talked about, one is it inactivates the immune system, other there's some other direct effects in the heart, you can get dysrhythmias and so forth. And in the brain, it can lead to some other diseases, most likely some of the degenerative diseases. Is that possible? Which we haven't seen yet.
Yeah, I've told people before. I said, it doesn't make any difference what the immune stimulant is. Whether it's aluminum or whether it's pesticides or whether it's spike protein, I said this so-called vaccine is the most dangerous part of the virus, the spike protein. It's been altered in the vaccine. It's not like the one in the circulating virus. It's different. It's a killer. And what it does is it activates the microglia of the brain, and then you start seeing degenerative brain disease. And so I predicted when this all started, a good friend of mine, Pat Wood, he wrote a pamphlet about it. And I wrote about informed consent. And I said, this is all being lied to. We're going to see new neurological diseases we've never seen before. We're going to see a rise in dementia, Parkinson's disease, all these other diseases. We have seen 26 cases of prion diseases in vaccinated people that died within a week. Now, prion diseases are notorious that they take a long time to develop, even a decade. These occurred within a week of vaccination, and these people died within a week, and they died a horrible death. And you look at some of these deaths and these vaccines, they died of multiple inflammatory diseases. That occurs because of the spike protein. So all of this is based on immunoexcitotoxicity. It is producing neurodegeneration. It's producing autism. We're going to see an enormous spike in autism. And all of these diseases connected to immunoexcitotoxicity.
We just shared a paper this morning where they reported in Korea an increased incidence of Alzheimer's disease, and the only thing they can attribute it to is the vaccines. So now the people who are listening to this or watching this say, well, what can I do to protect myself? Because obviously, that's n no, you don't hear about that from anybody or anywhere. What can you do?
Well, there several of the supplements seem to be quite successful. The natokinase tends to destroy the spike protein, so it'll clear it, which is a safe enzyme and helps prevent heart attack and strokes. And some of the things like vitamin B1 and thiamine, being B1, and pyridoxine, riboflavin. Nanocurcumin is very powerful. Nanocurcumin has been found to prevent the spike protein from attaching to the ACE2 receptor. And it clears it, it protects the brain, it protects the heart, it protects many organs. Quercetin has been very successful against this. And Magnesium is very successful. Magnesium blocks the NMDA glutamate receptor, keeps it from overacting. It doesn't stop it from working, but it keeps it from overreacting.
Vitamin D3.
Vitamin D3, the lowest death rate with the virus was people who had high vitamin D3 level. And vitamin D3 has been shown to prevent the excitotoxicity, and it protects the brain, the heart, the liver, lungs. It's very protective.
And broad.
The level by the government is too low. They say
Yeah.
36 nanograms per liter, which is nonsense. The people who had 65 to 100 nanograms per milliliter had the lowest death rate.
And bromelain and NaC, N-acetylcysteine.
N-acetyl-L-cysteine,
Yeah.
NAC. And they found recently it seems to prevent the destruction of ALS to the anterior motor cell.
Okay.
It's one of the, it increases glutathione, which is one of your most protective elements in a cell.
So it's a terrific update here. And this news, you read this, I read this, the news keeps coming out of all these things that are being revealed, that we were told one thing, and now the facts turn out to be totally opposite. The government is sheepishly admitted that you get myocarditis, which they denied before, and that the social distancing masks and isolation were of they were just chosen out of thin air. There was absolutely no value for it. Fauci admitted that. And so, I mean, all of these things are coming out, but not at the intensity that it came out that you needed to have all these things. So it's a kind of a meek admission response. The law, that's what the lawsuit in Missouri is about. So, Russell, any other things we missed at this point? We're going to have another update soon because this news just keeps running out, coming out all the time. Anything else that we missed?
Well, many of the things, the people that are skeptic who think this nonsense government would do that, others wouldn't do that. Well, ask yourself why. Why would they stop autopsies? The pathologists were screaming to do them. Oh, they made the excuse that, oh, they might catch COVID. That there was only one case of a pathologist getting COVID, and it wasn't from the autopsy. They didn't know where it came from. So the pathologist wrote an article saying, that's nonsense. We want to do autopsies. That's the only way we'll learn about what this is. Well, then they didn't want them to do autopsies on vaccinated people who died. And so a German virologist and the pathologist got together and said, why do they not want us to look at the bodies of people who died that were vaccinated? Well, they did the 800 autopsies and they found out why. Because the spike protein was all in their tissues. And they had died from the vaccine. Now we're starting to get a clearer picture that autopsies are being done, that these people were killed on purpose or let to die. They made people die from this disease. And they denied medications that worked. They knew these medications worked. And then they put out these stories as a horse paste. Oh, it's dangerous.
What you found in a paper in England when they put these people in nursing homes, just like they did in America, they gave them a drug which essentially was supposed to quiet them down and so forth, but actually it wound up leading to their death.
Yeah, it was used as a end-of-life drug. That's what it was known as. And so the people who work in these nursing homes and worked in these hospitals said, we begged our supervisors. We shouldn't give it that these patients aren't agitated. They don't need the drug. They told them to give it anyway, and it killed them. It killed them by the million.
And this is in a paper that came out in a journal that came out in England, which described that in specific detail.
Oh,
Correct. Okay.
It's all
Well,
documented.
I just want to make sure that the audience understands this is all verifiable information. If you have any questions about it, write us or ask questions. We'll make sure you get the references. This is all out there. And unfortunately, it's being suppressed. And now that it's coming out there, imagine if you were involved in this, if you were involved in this, and it's resulted in worldwide, we've already got a paper published saying
3 to 4 million people have died, and the figure is beyond that. This is not good news. This is not good news. This is called murder.
That's right.
Okay, I'm sure the audience is going to be alarmed by this, but these are the facts you need to know. That's what the journal is doing. We're providing you with information you can't get elsewhere. I've told you that every piece of information you've heard in this last 30 minutes is verifiable and is published. Okay. Anything else you want to say?
Yeah, I would end with the quote from Mark Twain, which I think tells everything. He said, "It's easier to fool people than it is to convince them they've been fooled." And a lot of that has to do with ego. "I'm too smart to be fooled. Well, I trusted the authorities. Well, I thought they were telling me the truth." So they talked themselves out of believing it, even though the evidence is screaming at them. And it's in these alternative sources, published in medical journals, among the experts in pathology and virology and medicine. So we have experts in every area who are telling the truth. It's just a matter of getting people to get past their ego and start listening.
And for doctors, most of them don't know. And you need to become informed, just like you do with everything else. You need to have facts and come to a reasonable conclusion of what's happened. We presented things that are facts. That's what you need to do. Okay, Russell, terrific job. We appreciate it. We expect an update probably in a couple of months with some more unbelievable things that nobody even knew about. This is a new experience for civilization. And thank you for your time, and thank you for preparing this, and thank you for informing us.
Well, thank you, Jim.
We hope you enjoyed this presentation. The material provided in this program is for informational purposes and is not intended as a use as diagnosis or treatment of a health problem, or as a substitute for consulting a licensed medical professional. Please fill out your evaluation at the end of this video so that we can evaluate this program and help us improve the information we bring to you in SNI Digital in the future. This recorded session is available free on SNI Digital. Send your questions, comments, or requests for CME credit to ausman@snidigital.org. There are many ways to learn. Surgical Neurology International is a 2D internet journal with Nancy Epstein as the editor-in-chief. Its web address is sni.global. SNI Digital, Innovations in Learning, is a new 3D video journal. It's interactive with discussion so that you can learn more. Its web address is snidigital.org. Surgical Neurology International is read in 239 countries and territories, and is the third largest neurosurgery journal in readership in the world. SNI Digital Innovations in Learning is now seen in 100 countries in 4 months, and it's the first video neurosurgery journal. Our goal is to help people throughout the world. The Medical News Network is devoted to bringing truthful medical and science news to the world. This program has been brought to you by the James I. and Carolyn R. Ausman Educational Foundation. It's copyrighted in 2024, and its all rights are reserved. These are the references we told you earlier that relate to the presentation that Dr. Blalock has made. Be prepared to take a screenshot as we scroll through these pages of references so you can have them for your use. Thank you for watching this program. We hope you've enjoyed it.